connect and form relationships with people across the country and around the world. And yet we are less likely than ever to know who lives two doors down the street or right up the hall from where you live. And because of that, America is in the midst of an epidemic of loneliness. People don't know where to turn. We've lost the ability to openly relate to the folks around us. So many people feel more comfortable to live in a virtual world than they do the real and physical world. In fact, the article said this: among people today who are applying for a job across this nation in any kind of field, 3 out of 5 of those people applying for jobs say this: but if I have to interview with someone face to face, I would rather not interview at all. We live in a lonely, lonely world. And all around you, you find folks who are struggling with that. Some of us know what it's like to go through those situations where we feel like, I'm the only one out there that feels the way I feel. I'm the only person who's experiencing what I'm going through. I'm the only one who's facing the kind of crisis that I'm facing in my life. And I don't even know where to turn or who to talk to about the loneliness in my life. In fact, we live in a world where people experience the rootlessness that comes from traveling from town to town. We have an accelerated pace of modern life. We have distractions and activities that make you feel alone in a crowd. And so people struggle with loneliness. If there's any figure in the Bible who would understand the meaning of loneliness, I think that person would be Abraham. Abraham, the one that God told to move from where he was and to go to where God wanted him to be. And that would be the experience of a lifetime. There never was a time in Abraham's life when God said, okay, you've arrived. Instead, he spent a lifetime following the leadership of the Lord, even though sometimes it led through lonely places. The way he's described in Hebrews 11:8, I think, has to be one of the loneliest verses in the Bible. That's where the scripture says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going was not a temporary description of Abraham's life. It was his walk by faith. Take a minute and think with me about what answering God's call meant to Abraham's life. The Lord reached out to him at a time when Abraham had settled into a comfortable routine. He was in the richest part of his life. He had accomplished things he needed to accomplish. He had succeeded in ways he always wanted to succeed. And all of a sudden, the Lord comes to him and says, you're not going to live in Haran anymore. He was living surrounded by people he loved. His life was flourishing. And the call required him to follow God to a destination that the Lord was not revealing. It was a dynamic call to step out in faith and follow God's promises. Leave what's comfortable behind. Go to new places. Live among different people. And know that wherever you go, that's where I want you to be. There must have been times when Abraham experienced real loneliness as he followed God's call on his life. I'm sure there were times when he was tempted to forget it all and go back home again. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm ready to go back to where people know me and everything is familiar, and I won't feel so alone. But Abraham followed God steadfastly, and along the way, he discovered the Lord was teaching him some lessons in the midst of it all. Lessons that you can learn And I can learn as well, because most of us experience the pain of loneliness. Maybe you've had to start all over in a brand new place. Maybe you've experienced real loss that you never expected to come your way. Maybe you had to say goodbye to something or someone in order to meet a new challenge that God placed in front of you. Whatever the source of your loneliness may be, the Lord offers us an antidote to the epidemic of loneliness. And I want to talk a little bit out of the life of Abraham about how God tells you you can get beyond those seasons of loneliness and loss in your life. Because God teaches us some things through the life of this special man that every one of us can take and put to work in our own lives. If you want an antidote to loneliness, the first thing you need to do is discover a task that God wants you to do. Often loneliness comes from a sense of being uprooted. The new semester in a new, first semester in a new school, taking a job in a different city, having to learn your way around a place you've never been before, finding yourself surrounded by people that you don't know yet, having to adjust to sudden changes in your circumstances. All kinds of things can contribute to the fact that sometimes you just feel lonely. Sometimes it's because you've left a place behind. Sometimes it's because a person has left you behind. Sometimes it's because you're in a situation where everything is different and you're not sure quite where to turn. It can be easy to feel as though you've lost your way. One of the reasons that Abraham was able to cope with his own rootlessness was that God let him live his life with real purpose. Even though he had to leave everything familiar behind, even though he found himself in a whole new situation, he recognized, I am doing this because this is what God wants me to do. Every morning he woke up with the sure knowledge the Lord had a plan for him. Every evening he went to bed knowing he had done the best he could to follow where God was leading. Abraham was not wandering aimlessly, just kind of making his way through the world. Instead, he was following God's plan wherever the Lord led him. He may have been separated from everything familiar, but he knew he was exactly where the Lord wanted him to be. Let me tell you this. Nothing is more important than knowing you are committed to following Christ on an everyday basis. Lord, I may not always know where you're living. I may not where you're leading. I may not always understand what you're doing, but this is what I know. If you will lead, I will follow. You show me what you want me to do, and I will be obedient. Reminds you that he has a purpose for your life. But more important than that, he has a purpose for every day of your life. One of the great things about knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for you is recognizing it's not just this great big plan. It's not just this global sense that somehow God's at work in it all. God has a plan for your life today. And part of your challenge as a believer is to say to the Lord, today, how can I honor you? Today, how can I follow you? Today, how can I be about doing the things you've called me to do? Today. God has a plan for your life. I think that's one of the reasons that sometimes we experience loneliness, is because sometimes we tend to say things like this. You know, when the time is right, I will. If only I were younger, I would have. When I know I'm ready, I will start. And somehow, people can be resigned to believing that living with God's purpose will always apply to another time and another place. When everything is perfect, when God has put everything into place, and when I feel really good about all of it, then I'll step out and follow Him. But the Bible says today is the day you follow Him. Right here, right now, is when God is moving in your life, and your calling is to trust and follow wherever God leads. And one of the antidotes to loneliness is when you recognize wherever I find myself and wherever He puts me, that's where God wants me to be right now. And it's really not about what used to be, and it's not even about what's going to be. It's about what is right now. And when God calls you out and says, "You follow me," that's what you do. I was thinking about God's call on Abraham the other day, and I was thinking about my own journey along the way. When I graduated from Samford and left home, that was the first time in my life I'd ever thought about the fact that someday I'm not going to be in Birmingham anymore. I was born in Birmingham. I grew up in Birmingham. I went to school in Birmingham. I went to college in Birmingham. I had always spent my life in Birmingham. And then all of a sudden, God told me, it's time to go. But when God said, it's time to go, what He really meant was, it's time to go 600 miles to North Carolina to go to seminary, because that's where I want you to be. And there I was for a few months, but it wasn't long after that that the Lord moved me from the seminary campus up to South Hill, Virginia, where I found my wife, which was a wonderful thing. And there I was for the next few years, and then after that, the Lord brought me back to Clanton, Alabama, when I really wasn't intending to be back in Alabama at all, because I didn't have my wife yet. She was still finishing college, and I thought, I'll hang around where she is, but the Lord didn't. And we went from Clanton, Alabama, to Aliceville, Alabama, where honestly, when I got off the telephone with the chairman of the search committee, the first thing I did was get out a map and say, where in the world is Aliceville, Alabama? And there I was for the next 15 years. And then I was called away from that and I went to Northwest Alabama, where I'd never lived before in my life. And there we were for the next 11 years. And then the Lord brought us here, and here we are 10 years later. And here's the thing. Every place was different, but in one critical way, they were all alike. They were all part of God's plan. They were all part of His calling. And I knew wherever I was at each particular time, it was because that's where the Lord said to go. And we loved everywhere that we lived. And every time we left, it broke our hearts to leave. But we knew God was saying, go. And here we are together, 10 years, and we love our First Baptist family. And what a great calling it's been, and how much Judith and I love being part of this fellowship. The Lord calls us to follow where He leads. You can't be trapped by the past or constantly waiting for the future to come about before you act. This is what I've learned over the years. I've learned this: you have to live where you live. You can't live where you used to be, and you can't live where you want to be. You got to live where you live and plant yourself there. And pour your life into that part of your life. Because God has a purpose for you right here, right now. And you look for His hand right where you are. God has an antidote for loneliness. And that loneliness is, plant yourself right where you are. And be there till God tells you what to do next. And that's not just true about pastor serving churches, that's about the jobs you work at. It's about what's going on in your family. It's about what's taking place in your life. It's about everything going on, because every bit of it is all about saying, Lord, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? Right here, right now. What's your plan for me? And as long as you know I'm in the midst of God's purpose, while there may be loneliness from time to time, you also recognize I am exactly where God has placed me. And that's what matters. But that's not all we learn from the life of Abraham. We also learn this: if you want an antidote to loneliness, seek the people God wants you to touch. A sure cure for loneliness is to take the initiative in reaching out to the people around you. That's why one of my favorite things we do in church every Sunday is the greeting time. I just love to see our church family reaching out. You're reaching out to one another. You're reaching out to folks that are visiting with us. You're reaching out to folks you haven't met yet or don't know very well. And we reach out to one another, and we have a good time doing it. I'll never forget, a few years back, my friend Alba Beasley brought his college choir from up in Charlottesville, Virginia, to be with us in our church. Now, you may not remember that, but we had this college choir up here in the choir loft, and it just so happened that the Sunday they were here, Dr. Hopkins was away wherever he was at that particular time. And so I asked Alba, would you be willing to lead our worship that Sunday? And he said, I'll be glad to. And so he did. And I'll never forget that we came to that point in the service when I said, okay, now let's reach out and greet one another. And I realized I didn't tell Alba about our church. And I saw him up here trying to figure out, how do I get control of this group again? Because they're so busy talking to people with one another. It's a great thing to be able to reach out and initiate relationships with folks that just need to know how much God cares. If you're willing to trust Him, the Lord will bring people across your path who need someone to reach out to them, in Jesus' name. If you're just willing for God to use you, He will always show you somebody who needs to know how much He cares for them. It was a lonely experience for Abraham. He had to leave his family. He had to leave his friends behind. He knew as he left, he would never see them again. Who would have blamed him if he were tempted to turn around and go back? Who would have found fault with him if he responded the way one woman did, who told me this several years ago? Every time I love somebody, I get hurt, so I've decided I'm never going to let anybody get close to me again. But Abraham wasn't like that. He might have been tempted to, but Abraham made the decision to care for others deeply as he followed God's guidance. How do I know that's true? It was the pattern of Abraham's life. When you look at the story of Abraham, one of the things you discover is he was constantly building strong relationships and showing love to the people around him. Abraham was lovingly committed to his wife, Sarah. Remember the story of Abraham and Sarah, and if you remember this, Sarah was barren for many, many years. How could God make Abraham the father of nations the way he had promised, if his wife could have no children? The law at the time said this: he could have divorced his wife and put her away in order to find someone who could bear those children that he needed for the future. But Abraham loved his wife, and he was committed to her, and he walked with her and loved her for a lifetime. And the day would come when he would buy a cave so he could tenderly put his wife to rest, because he loved her. He never considered turning away from Sarah. And here's the thing, just as the Lord never considers turning away from you. There's never that time in the Lord's heart when He says, I'm tired of you, I'm through with you, I don't want you anymore, I choose someone else. When you trust Christ Jesus as Savior, His commitment to you is eternal. It will never end. There will never be a time when God is sorry that He called you. There'll never be an instant when He regrets that He saved you. He is committed to you the way Abraham loved his wife. But it wasn't just Sarah. One of the things that amazes me is that Abraham was patiently committed to his nephew Lot. Now, if I were going to describe Lot this morning, I would say this. He was a constant disappointment. He was selfish, he was stubborn, he was proud, he was constantly having to be bailed out of trouble. There must have been times when Abraham said something like this, Lord, if I only had one relative that was going to travel with me on this journey, why did it have to be Lot? Why couldn't you pick somebody else to be my companion? But the Bible also says this, Abraham never gave up on him, and he was always there when Lot was in need. And just like the Lord loves us, Abraham loved Lot for the man he could become and not the person he was. And he did everything he could to encourage him and challenge him. I think it's an incredible thing that when Abraham looked at Lot, he always saw the potential in this fella, even when it was hard to find. Even when Lot had disappointed him one more time, there was never a time when the Lord said, that's it, I'm done, you're through. And the Lord looks at you and me, and He sees the potential in us, and He sees what He could do through us and in us if we would just let Him, and He continues to patiently deal with our hearts and guide our lives. And even when we mess up, and even when we fall down, He's there for us. And He never gives up. He sees what you can be. And that's what He pays attention to when He looks at your life. Abraham was deeply, lovingly committed to his wife. He was patiently, openly committed to his nephew Lot. And then there was Isaac. My boy. When I was so old that I had given up and everybody else had given up on me, God gave me a son. Isaac was both the apple of His eye and the fulfillment of God's promise. But when he was pushed to the limit, Abraham also proved he loved God even more than he loved Isaac. He taught his son, the Lord always comes first. The Lord always comes first. And if you read Abraham's story in Genesis, you'll discover that he was a strong influencer wherever he went. You could always tell because people trusted him and people depended upon him. People relied on him. He trusted God. He reached out to other people. And when you're lonely, you can follow Abraham's example. Instead of asking God to send someone to bless you, ask Him to send you to someone who needs a blessing. That's the key, isn't it? Lord, I'm lonely. Who can I reach out to? Lord, I feel like nobody's there. How can I show your love? It's hard to be lonely when you're investing your lives in others. Abraham teaches us also to be open to aloneness. There's a difference between loneliness and aloneness. Loneliness is when you feel so desolate and so abandoned, but aloneness is when you step aside from all the distractions of life in order to hear the voice of God. Here's the thing, aloneness is not lonely, because when you're alone with the Lord. You're not alone from the Lord. And aloneness makes your spirit richer and deeper. And all of us have a great need for a sense of aloneness. And yet we live in an age where people fear that experience of being alone. We'll do almost anything to distract ourselves, to avoid silence, to keep from being still. We walk in the house, we turn on the television. We sit down in our rooms, we fire up the computers. We get in our cars, we turn on the radio. I wish I could say you do that, but the truth is, we do that. It's almost as though if things got quiet, I might hear God. And I'm afraid of what he might say. That can even be true in church. I attended a church a while back, and the people were warm and they were very welcoming, and the preacher effectively declared the word. It was a wonderful time. But when I left the service, I have to be honest, my first impression was this. I don't think I've ever been in a place where people were so allergic to reverence. There was never an instant when things got quiet. There was never a moment to hear that still, small voice. And we need that. We need that sense of aloneness. The truth is, even when we're gathered in this place, even when we're right here in church together, there ought to be some times in your life when you're not really paying attention to the music that we're singing. Sorry, Jeff. And you're not really listening to what the preacher is saying, because there comes that moment when it's just you and the Lord. And he's speaking to your heart. And it really is just about his relationship with you. I'll never forget one Sunday, we'd come to the end of the service, I'd preached an outstanding sermon. I was standing at the door greeting people. And as I was standing there, one person came by and said, "You will never know how much I needed that message today. I came to church today and I was so burdened, and I had something on my heart that was just so weighing, it was weighing me down so." And they said, and during the message, when you said this, and you said this, and you said this, it was exactly what I needed. And I took the hand, and I smiled, and I shook, and I sent her on their way, and I thought, but I didn't say any of those things. The Holy Spirit did. And that's what they needed. And sometimes we need that sense of aloneness so that God can speak. There's power in aloneness. Abraham had many nights when he was alone under the stars, waiting for God's guidance. Where do we go next? Who am I supposed to meet? What am I supposed to do? And there were those times when God gave him that time to examine his life and to hear what the Lord was saying. Aloneness is that time in everybody's life when you clear away the distractions and remove the spiritual clutter that keeps you from hearing what God is saying to you. Gives you time to open your heart to the Lord. No wonder so many times in the Gospels, the Bible says that Jesus went apart or went up on a mountain or left his disciples in a garden in order to be alone with the Father. He needed to hear what his Father was saying to him. And in the same way, the Lord led Abraham into some places where he would have to be still and listen before he could move forward. And if Jesus required that time and Abraham required that time, so do you. You see, being alone offers you time to experience the companionship of God. Not just his directions, not just his instructions. His companionship. Abraham is remembered for so many things. He was the father of God's people. He established God's covenant with those people. He would be the one who would first cross the promised land. But I think the most important way to remember Abraham is found in Isaiah 41:8. Listen to what the Bible says. But you, Israel, are my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. My friend. You know, when I die, there are a lot of ways I would like people to remember me. There are a lot of descriptions I would like people to use. There are probably a number of descriptions I'll be glad I'm not around to hear. But I don't know of anything that would be more important than for someone to say, there is a friend of God. There is someone who walked with the Lord. And when you're with the Lord, you're not alone. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He is the friend of sinners. He is your Savior and your King. And so Abraham trusted God for all those lonely years. And in the end, the journey was worth everything because he had become a friend of God. And that's what matters. You know, at the beginning of this message, I said that Hebrews 11:8 was one of the loneliest verses in the Bible of going, not knowing. And for a lifetime, he followed God's leadership. And at the end, he became the subject of one of the Bible's richest verses and descriptions of a life well lived. Genesis 25:8 tells us this. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. In other words, God kept every promise in his life. It may be you're here this morning and you're almost overwhelmed by loneliness because of what you're experiencing. As strange as it may sound, I'm going to suggest this. And if you're lonely, come apart. Get alone with God. Let him show you just how much he loves you. And maybe you're here this morning and the real source of your personal loneliness is this. I don't have a relationship with God. I've never trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior and my Lord. And there's nothing I need more this morning than this. To trust him. To forgive my sins. To come into my life, to live with me forever so that I can live with him eternally. And I can be a friend of God. Do you need to trust him this morning? In a minute we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And it's an opportunity for you to come. And I'd be glad to introduce you to Jesus. so you can be his friend for eternity. Or maybe you're here and God wants you to be a part of this church, and today is the day when you need to come and join the church. Or maybe this is a day when God's calling you and you need to answer a specific call. You need somebody to pray with you about a specific need. Is there something the Lord wants you to do? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God's Spirit speaks, you come. Now, I know there came that moment just a few minutes ago, about 5 minutes ago, when there were folks all across this congregation thinking, does he realize what time it is? And yes, I do. It is time to go eat. We're going to have a great time. If you're here and you're our guest, we would love for you to come downstairs to the fellowship hall that's right below us. We're going to have a grilled chicken dinner. We're going to enjoy our time together. This is our Labor Day tradition, and we're looking forward to enjoying it. But it'd be even better if you join us there, and we look forward to that. Let me remind you, we won't be back this evening for evening services. Our dinner time will be our time when we'll wrap up our time. Then you go home and spend time together as a family. I'm glad we got to share this time. So let's bow together in our closing prayer. And then one last song, and then we'll make our way downstairs to have a great time together. Father, we do thank you that you meet us in the midst of the lonely places in our lives. Because, Father, all of us have been there, and some of us are there right now. But we thank you, Lord, that you're our companion, and you're our friend, and you are faithful. So, Father, we ask you to bless us as we trust you. And as we follow where you lead. And Father, we do thank you for the meal we're going to share together in just a moment. We pray your blessing on it. We ask you, Lord, to bless the fellowship of your people and those who have prepared this food and the great time that we have when we share time together. So be with us, Lord, as we share our meal. In Christ's name, amen.
Blessed.